So here's what I'm thinking. I think that what I should do is start up here, and then you should call in like in 3 minutes. It'll be like having a caller on a radio show.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
All right.
Does that seem like a perfectly horrible and cheesy thing to do that's in line with this whole show?
Yeah, that seems about right.
All right, so you want to call me back in like 3 minutes?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, see you in a bit. Okay, well, let's start the show then. Hey, everybody. Welcome. We're going to have a big, huge show for you today. I have a lot of big things to talk about, so I hope that we don't get any surprise calls or anything like that. I had a dentist appointment today, which is always great. They had flavors, lots of stuff going on. Buckle up! Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Thank you all for joining us again on another episode of Helpful Snowman Radio. I'm Pete. I'm your host. I'm Pete. I just do the announcement part, and then your host will be here in about 45 minutes. So, you know, stay tuned. That's how we run our show, because we are smart. Boy, did I have some big stuff to talk about today. Has anybody ever made anything in a crock pot? I have to say, this crock pot, I thought when I bought this, okay, this is the end of cooking. I'm going to throw just a whole chicken in here, and then, I don't know, like a can of soup or something, and what will come out is a meal for a man. Well, let me tell you what happens. Here's what a crock pot does. You basically cook a meal, then put it in there, and it heats it up for you extremely slowly. And it, you know what it fills up? It does not fill up a man's stomach with delicious food. It fills up a man's apartment with the smell of old broccoli farts. Stewing. For goddamn hours. Hours and hours on end. And also fills me with the fear that, you know, every time I leave the crock pot on, I think, this is the time I'm going to come home and the stove's going to be, you know, the whole house is going to be on fire because of this goddamn crock pot. You know, it'll be me kneeling, weeping, saying, well, I found this recipe on Pinterest. I thought it would be fine. But it's not. How'd you burn down your house, Pete? Was it, wood that you chopped yourself like a lumberjack and piled up on the side of the house? Was it something to do with, you know, you tried to burn a man for trying to steal your land? No, it was a crockpot thing. That was what I did. So anyway, I enjoyed a weird mushy meal when I got home. So that's nice for me. Oh, what would you like? Some browned mushy broccoli? Well, good news for you, because you're going to get it, my friend. In spades and mush. Which card thing mostly looks like mush? Whichever one that is, that's what it's going to look like. That's what it's going to be in. I'm starting to wonder, my dentist, honestly, if my dentist is like actually a person. Is he an actual man? Because part of me thinks now that he's just a phantom created by, I was thinking, maybe there's like a group of rogue dental hygienists out there, and what they decided to do was like, fuck it, we don't need a dentist. We'll do this ourselves. We'll just get some guy to be in pictures with us for the website, put it under his name, and then we just do all the work. That's what we do anyway. Jesus Christ, the dentist comes in here for 4 seconds, looks at your teeth and says like, hey, looks good. And who's going to complain? It's not like I'm going to go in there and say, oh, God, I think I have a cavity. You know, they always say, have you had any pain anywhere? And I just want to say, you know, oh, God. I mean, yes, but I don't want to talk about it. Or no, but tell me if you find something. I mean, that's kind of your job, right? To break the bad news to me. Breaking bad news. Bears. Oh, that's delicious. Are you guys drinking still? Have we given up on this as a life thing, or are we still all into it? I'm going to just cop to, you know, I told my brother to call in 3 minutes, and I think it's been more than 3 minutes. Oh, of course. That's right when it comes in, right? Caller, you're on the line.
Hey, is this the Helpful Snowman Radio Show?
Yeah. How's it going, Ian?
It's going all right. How are you doing?
Good. I already blew the ruse myself. I was like, I don't know if he's going to call in. And then that's right when it rang.
I was so like, maybe it works out perfectly that way, where you had this plan, and then the plan fucked up, and then you fucked up the plan again.
I really triple fucked that plan.
Yeah.
It worked out great. Well, welcome. It's been a little while. We haven't seen you for a little while.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on the show.
Yeah. How have you been?
Good.
Good.
I want you to take a guess at what the temperature is when I go to work now.
Let's see.
Actually, even better, I could do this in my house. What the temperature is inside my home currently.
Well, it's November and you live in Phoenix. I'm going to say 84.
84 is close.
Okay.
Because remember, you should probably describe to our listeners what it was like when you visited in July.
It was like if they made an oven inside of hell, you know, because they had to make hell cookies and it was not hot enough just around. It was miserable. It was very inappropriate. I hated it.
Because right now I have nothing running.
Right.
And it's the middle of the night. The sun has gone down, been down for like, oh, God, almost 5 hours now.
Uh-huh.
It is currently 71 degrees.
Jesus Christ. That's crazy.
Inside my house.
Yeah, that's horrible. I don't understand. I mean, this is just living on another planet. This is not America. You are on fucking Mars out there.
Some kind of weird other world.
Yeah. So I really wanted to have you call in because I got a text message from you today regarding something that you thought was spam email, but you weren't sure. And there's a whole backstory to this. So I thought, well, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say I should probably read it at some point.
I think what we should do is I'm going to read the one that I got. Well, I'll tell the story, what happened.
Okay.
So I wake up on, I don't know, Friday morning, I think it was. I had to wake up super early, be somewhere at 7, you know. So it's like 6:30 in the morning, and I'm just, you know, doing the thing I do where I just push all the buttons on my iPhone that could possibly be like someone noticed you online. Twitter, Facebook, email, all that. I have kind of a hierarchy. I push the email one, and I have two emails in my inbox from someone called Lily Paris. Now, before I really get into this story, remind me to explain why I felt okay about telling this story later. So,
okay.
I have two emails in my inbox from Lily Paris. One says, I'm Lily to your Pete, and that one came first. And the second one said, the most embarrassing moment of my life. So, should I just start with the first one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, also, I do this writing thing online, petesunsetloveletters.tumblr.com, and it's these, you know, letters about how I'm, you know, a lover man. You know, a man who does love things. So, let's do this.
Okay.
Hang on. Let me try something real quick. Can you still hear me right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. I'm going to read the letter. And stop me if, you know, we get to something. Or I don't know if she may have sent the same. Here we go. So this may take some explaining. I'm Lily. You know me. except you don't know me as Lily. Does this make sense? I hope so. Already I'm thinking, what the hell is this? Let me explain. I created Lily a little over 2 years ago as my literary alter ego. She was not the first, though. Before her, there was Daisy, and before that, Hannah. Which I was hoping it would be Daisy and then some other flower. You know, Lily Daisy, but then it's Lily Daisy and Hannah. My girls have adventures of a sort, and are daring and dynamic and sexually liberated and all those wonderful things post-millennial women are supposed to want and be, supposed to want to be, and on good days actually are, despite the number of nights they also spend alone and wondering what happened to the promise of a Sex in the City life. They are all Charlottes, after all. Do you know anything about Sex in the City? Can you explain Charlottes?
Yes, I actually can't explain Charlotte. She's the one who's supposedly somewhat looking for the traditional man, like sort of Prince Charming to sweep her off her feet, still believe in all that stuff. So that's Charlotte.
So kind of a romantic. Which one is she physically? The redhead?
She's got the long brown hair.
Okay, that's the one that I cannot picture. That's perfect. So let's see. Yeah. Daisy started reading Pete's Unsent Love Letters back over the summer. She understands the imaginative fiction disclaimer on the Helpful Snowman blog and knows that just as she is a creation of someone else's mind, so too is Pete. But then she starts to wonder, is Pete a mix of fiction and truth just as she is? It's so difficult when you only exist in someone else's mind, she thinks. It means that she can have deep thoughts about the universe and life and love, but she doesn't know her own shoe size. She does know that unlike her creator, she can get away with wearing cute knee-length boots without having to figure out if there's a way to suck in one's own calves. I guess that means this is a heavy-legged woman. I'm not sure.
How the fuck do you suck in your calves?
I'm a little confused by it. I feel like there are a few allusions to this being a heavier lady, but we'll get to that in a second. Well, in the next paragraph. To get down to brass tacks, Lily likes Pete. She likes it that he is probably a little broken in the way that all guys are who have had one great waif girl love about whom they romanticize and then write movies like 500 Days of Summer about, until they meet sturdier oak women who will ultimately be their wives and the mothers of their children. Lily doesn't know if she's a waif or an oak. Depends on the day. Which that made me think, like, well, I don't know if I would call myself sturdy as an attractive lady, but fine. Lily knows that you are at a disadvantage here, since she knows both Pete and his creator, and poor Pete only knows Lily, not the one who imbues her with life. It's almost a catfish-like situation. Almost exactly. Maybe in the future. What she proposes, however, is something that she knows is completely insane, and she wouldn't blame Pete's creator at all if he gave a hearty what the fuck and deleted this message. What the fuck? And deleted this message. Lily needs a friend, possibly more. Instead of only writing unsent love letters, maybe he could send Lily an actual email. Do be warned. Lily's creator is incredibly shy about this and is looking at this as a writing experiment of sorts. Should Pete's creator attempt to discover who she is and actually gets her identity right, said creator will deny it until her last living breath. Good night, Pete. Okay, so that's the first email I get. So I'm reading this, okay. You know, and I'm going, huh. So I guess somebody read these unsent love letters and is like, I'm in love with you, sort of. I would like to be the oak to your whatever goes with an oak. I don't know. The oak to your penis. So then probably, you know, immediately after that, not five minutes after, I get a second email from Lily Paris, and it reads this way. Subject line, the most embarrassing moment of Lily's life, in which she realizes that who she thought was Pete actually was Pete, and not his brother, as she had thought all along. Maird, you can tell your brother that some weirdo girl in his life has a crush on him. So it took me a while to figure out exactly what the hell that meant. And what I extrapolated is that she thought you were me, and that you had created me as a character online. So basically, Pete does not exist. other than a creation of yours. Which
so
I created
Pete.
As she created Daisy, you created Pete. Basically, we have a Fight Club situation going on right now. So I write her back. So here's what I wrote her back, because I thought, well, at first I was like, hey, all right, this is all paying off. Finally, the babes are falling in my lap, right? Then I read the second email, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. That's more like what I expected. And then I was willing to let it go, however. I was willing to just drop it. So I sent her an email back. It happens to the best of us. Well, not this exact thing, but something. God knows I've wished for an email retractor more than once. Thanks for coming out with your feelings regardless. And if you have a crush on my brother, it's not too late to send him an email too. We share a lot of qualities. Best, Pete. You know, which I thought was a nice way of saying like, all right, cool. Then she sends me another email that says, is my secret safe then? And also right after that one that says, and I'm assuming you know which brother. Now, at this point, I had to make a tough decision because I said, I want to talk about this on a podcast, and here's why. It's pretty hilarious because, you know, you read this email where someone basically professes love for you, and then it's like, JK, JK, it's your brother, right? Which I know is embarrassing for her. However, I think worse for me. Here's why. Because she says it's my secret safe, which I didn't even respond to. I was going to respond to, and then I was like, well, I don't know if it's safe. And also, I don't know anything about her. You know what I mean? If you've seen a woman who looks like a sturdy oak, if you know some kind of living tree, I guess that's who it is. But obviously, and you know, she says, I'm assuming you know which brother. And I say, I mean, I have to assume it's you because, you know, our other brother, it's not like I interact with him online very often. It would be a tough thing to have him confused with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'd be much harder.
And it made sense because I figured she thought that you created Pete because you, you know, you'll like repost things I've done or like things or, you know what I'm saying? So I could see how that could be possible to think that I'm an alter ego of you. So while I felt sort of guilty exposing it, I wasn't sure. But I did feel like I was kind of on the losing end. And also, I didn't really have anything to expose. But then, to affirm my decision, I got a text from you today that you received an email that you thought was spam from the same person. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so, once I figured she had contacted you, I figure, cat's out of the bag. So, would you care to read your email? Or not?
Sure. Because I have no idea who this person is.
Okay.
Essentially. So there you go. Let's see. It says, by the way, this is like 3 sentences in total.
Okay.
So, we
I think she blew her wad on the first one.
Yeah. So your brother already knows me. Because I made the mistake of emailing him first and telling him I had a crush on him, instead of you, the original intended recipient of my sad attempt at being a secret admirer. Your brother was incredibly sweet. However, once I realized my mistake, and his exact words were, thanks for coming out with your feelings regardless, and if you have a crush on my brother, it's not too late to send him an email too. We share a lot of qualities. So until I can work up the nerve to actually tell you face to face I have feelings for you, I'm going to hide in the shadows and just let it be enough to tell you that there is someone in your life who has feelings for you.
Well, there you go. Now, I don't... Okay. This is what was... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, the thing that made it seem like spam right away to me was the fact that I was like, I don't know where someone would have encountered us both. You know?
Well, to be fair, yours was a lot more unspecific. Like mine, the one I got obviously had details that made it, you know, clear that it was not spam. I mean, it could still be a complete crazy person, but it was not someone in India trying to get me to buy fucking penis pills that make my penis fill with water so it looks chubbier or something.
Right.
When
I looked at it, it had a Yahoo email address, and I was like, "Who? What? I don't know anybody." What made it really bizarre was it came into my work email.
Ooh, that is weird. Okay.
It's not like my regular home email, and that's really what made me think it was spam right away, because
yeah,
I mostly use my, like, I stopped using my, what's now my work email, you know, I sort of left and came back to this job.
Right.
So I'd had a long doldrums where I wasn't really using this email address for very much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made it strange, that, like, the time when I would have been checking this email, you know, it's fairly new. So it seems strange that, like, the women that would have known us both, that we would have both encountered, I was like, this doesn't sound like any of them.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, and now we know that when she says she, quote unquote, knows me, it's that I'm sure I've never met this person. And I guess she knows me as much as what's online, but which is a lot, but I don't know her 1%. Other than
right.
She's got some literary alter egos.
That's what I wondered, if it was kind of, it still seems like that seems to be something, but it seems all made up to me. Like, it still seems just too weird.
You still don't buy it, huh?
I don't know, because most of the people who I think actually know me as a person, if it is someone real, which I don't think it is, it has to be someone who knows me from a great distance, because they probably would know that that's like this, I'm your secret admirer, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm an old man. I don't put up with this nonsense.
you just want someone to come up and talk to you, basically.
Right.
Yeah,
but cloak and dagger doesn't work with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's someone who, if that person exists, it's like, well, they really have some kind of weird impression of, some weird amalgamation of Pete's unsent love letters to me, and then me as somehow, Pete, you know, the author of that, where, like, the author of the actual person, it's that whole actual person versus the character creation thing. I don't even know.
Well, here's the thing. I think this is an actual person emailing, for the reason that clearly they've read the unsent love letters, and clearly they know. Well, I'm not really sure how they thought that I was you and you were me. And also, I think this person may be horribly confused about, because they clearly know you in real life and they know me in online life. And I'm not really sure which one of those people they are infatuated with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Was it the love letters and therefore that's the person you're in love with? Or was it, you know, this is a person who actually knows you, and that's a more realistic way of being in love with someone, right? You actually know them. But I think this person may be confused about which person they're really into.
Right. There's some kind of amalgamation going on. They see me and think love letters. And even though they've now figured out that those might be two different people,
yeah.
I mean, that seems like a rather elaborate ruse, too, of, like, if you have this other thing, that's what I don't really know. That's what just seems, it all seems now stranger to me.
Let me ask you this. Maybe we could compromise. How about we make an offer, a peace offering, the old Dirk Double stuff?
Ah, there you go, the wobbly H of Dirk Dump.
Oh, God. What would it take for you to have a threesome where I'm one of the other people? What would you require?
Well,
are you drinking, by the way, or are you just, like, sitting at a desk right now with glasses on?
Well, I'm sitting at a desk, but I'm drinking, so both.
Okay, so kind of both. That's perfect. That's exactly how I would prefer. Okay, so to have a threesome with me, let's assume the woman is very attractive and is not, you know, someone involved in our lives. You know what I mean? We'll never have to see this person again.
Right. So, like, it was sort of, she would pop into our life and then pop out.
Yeah.
And it's some kind of, so, okay. It would be, first of all, I think we'd have to have a clear established rule about touching.
You and me touching?
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't want me to reach across and touch your nipple, let's say?
Yeah, yeah. That definitely, like, one would have to it'd be like one has to operate one end and one has to operate the other in this operation.
Now, what about high fives?
I think that's after, not during.
Yeah. All right, see you later. And then we go to hug and it's like, eh, we better high five.
Maybe a hearty handshake.
Yeah.
Like, job well done.
Mm-hmm. That seems reasonable to me.
Right. I think we'd also have to go in an even share of credit if she was satisfied, you know, regardless of where we were stuffing.
Oh, well, I don't care about that. So if you wanted to ask her that, I would let you take full credit.
That doesn't matter. We still want to get into, like, the, I did this or I did that.
Oh, I'm the one who really made this work.
Right.
I'm the one who did the old, you know, corroded trumpet or whatever.
That's right. The old rusty trombone.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Or corroded trumpet.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Blindfold,
or would you want me to just, like, put a mask over my penis or something?
Ideally, if you could put, like, a little sort of koozie on your penis, maybe, like, with a little mouse face on it.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cute. Or maybe, underwear where it's an elephant's trunk.
Right. Ooh, you know what would actually make this work just perfectly for me?
Huh.
If you had some kind of horse head prop, like something out of Equus, and you put it on your head.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So it was just crazy.
Yeah, we could do something like kind of, the same kind of thing like if that got on the cutting room floor of Eyes Wide Shut. We're like, nah, that's just too weird.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's horrible. When do you think the last time you saw my penis was?
I think it was probably.
I thought that was just you hanging up right then. You're just like, okay, this show's over.
No, I think it was probably sometime several years ago. I think, and it was probably when you were peeing while walking.
Ah, okay.
That wouldn't be that long ago. No, but I think that I haven't seen you pee while walk as frequently.
Yeah.
I guess you've matured or aged, you tend to stop and pee rather than try to keep striding and peeing.
You know what? I did the old pee and walk like 2 days ago. I was downtown outside somewhere. This is all hypothetical if this is a crime, but I was walking back to my car. I went to Denver. I parked in a neighborhood. I took the light rail downtown and then figured out that the light rail was not running back from downtown, so I had to walk 4 miles at least back to my car. It was far. And I was getting tired, and I'd had a couple beers, so I knew I'd have to pee. I didn't have to pee too bad, but I was like, there's no way I'm going to make it home without peeing. I'm just in this neighborhood, and I did the old pee and walk. Turned out good. It was a thing of beauty.
That's one of those cool story, bro, kind of moments. Like, I did the pee and walk and it worked, but the pee and walk is a special talent of yours.
Yeah.
That's something that's, I mean, a rare thing.
Yeah, I mean,
most people can't pee and walk at the same time.
I think most people can. They just haven't really tried. I mean, how many people have honestly tried? And the thing is, you got to approach it. It's like going off the high dive, man. You got to do it with no fear, because if you have fear, you're going to fuck up. You're going to pee all over your pants. Too worried. It's not going to work. But
now,
if you go
full speed.
Right.
You just got to go. Now, the question is, when you first decided to go for it, so we'll go back to, you know, early days Pete. Pete the origin story. Pete man begins.
Pete origins.
Right. So, when you're peeing and walking the first time, or the first time you try this, are you wearing pants or shorts?
Oh, pants, for sure. I rarely wear shorts. I don't own shorts other than ones that I go to the gym in, and even then I prefer pants.
I guess now that I think about it, I was trying to think of the last time I saw you in shorts.
Yeah, I don't wear shorts. I don't own shorts that are, you know, khaki shorts or cargo shorts. I don't even own them.
Oh. That adds up, because I was thinking, like, if I were to try this for the first time,
yeah,
I'd probably go with a bathing suit first time.
Well, here's what I would recommend. Just do it somewhere when you're ready to change pants immediately. And again, no fear. You know what works great is sweatpants. That's good practice for pants, because you're probably going to be in pants. But at the same time, it's low risk, because who cares if you pee up your sweatpants?
Yeah, sweatpants are the kinds of pants that, like, at what point, like, what would you be able to do in a pair of pants that you just be like, I'm done with these? Like, in a pair of sweatpants.
Like, what would ruin a pair of pants for life?
Yeah, where you're just like, I have to get rid of these.
I think if I took a full dump, like if there was a shit log in the pants, I think I'd probably trash them. I think I'd be done. You know, I don't know. Maybe if I puked on them a lot, I might just throw them out. A pair of sweatpants, because, you know, that's $13 or something. I might just say, I'd rather just throw them out.
$13? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you shopping like an Express for Men for your sweatpants?
Do they sell sweatpants at Express for Men? Because if they do, they probably look great and a little like women's pants. No, I mean, these are Target sweats. I'm telling you, $13.
That's the thing, though. Is like, would you ever buy sweatpants from the Goodwill, like secondhand sweatpants?
No, because I'll use a pair of sweatpants till they wear out. Here's the thing about shopping at the Ark or the Goodwill. People buy dumb shit there. You don't want to buy something that you would wear until it dies or you die. Like jeans, I'll wear them till I die or they die. Whatever comes first. You know what I mean? Like jeans, basically, I had a favorite pair of jeans that I wore until they were more ripped than jean. It was like a jean thong in the back. I mean, they were like 90s jeans. They were so ripped up. So jeans, I think it's just worth it to buy it new because you'll get your money's worth out of it. Sweatpants, same thing. Buy it new, because, I don't know. And what was the other person doing in those sweatpants?
That's the thing, is that sweatpants are almost always worn without underpants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're always going
in. I guarantee you
in.
There were loose balls and semen in those pants. I need to bring a black light to the Goodwill. And, you know, really black light these clothes and be like, this has sperm all over it, so I would like a 15% discount, if that's possible.
Wouldn't that be the best way to go? To be like, I can break these over my legs, you know, like cordwood.
Oh, God. They're still crusty from sperm. That's a 30%. Yeah. That's a 30% minimum off.
I like the idea too that you're like, semen all over it, to the point where I think, like, if I were to put them on and bend my knees, they would crack.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go ahead and buy them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll just I'll roll the window down, air them out. I don't know.
I'm gonna kind of wash them, like, and adjust a little bit slowly.
We know one of the real shames is, and I'm guessing you're in this same boat. Generally, like a shirt, I wear a men's medium, and I'm guessing you're the same. Like, that's the hardest size to find. Now, if I was a big fat fuck, it would be way easier to find shirts at the Ark, because they have a lot of XLs and larges. You know, if I put on a good 60 pounds, I could dress pretty good from the Ark. I think it could be a money-saving plan to put on weight.
I mean, that's the thing, is like, I've always thought I would find more stuff at the Ark. I found that some stuff is weird, and it's kind of the nice thing about sort of the hipster revolution,
uh-huh,
that there's more stuff, there's more weird, like, cool t-shirts in my size.
Right.
But clothes for work, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Like clothes that I could take to a job, it's really, you know, I have a whole collection of awesome cat t-shirts and,
right,
you know, things like that, but clothes that I could go to work in has pretty small, pretty, you know, pretty narrow, slim pickings.
Right, yeah, like if you want to wear old, you know, funny shirts from old fucking baseball teams that never even existed, you're set. But if you can't wear that to work, you're fucked.
Which makes me conclude that everyone who's my size is either, you know, some kind of tech billionaire or homeless. So
this is, I gotta say, know, I wish that my work, we just wore like a, you know, a jumpsuit. Because then I could just wear the same fucking jumpsuit as everybody else and be done with it. You know what I mean?
Hmm. If you were like a karate instructor.
Yeah, I just wear that robe. I'd probably just wear an actual robe. I'd say, guys, it's fucking winter, okay? You don't need to see my open chest with these gross little hairs.
I started taking karate, which is probably a good story for this podcast.
Whoa. Just recently you started taking karate.
I guess like this month now? November?
Yeah.
About like three, four months ago.
Oh, that's recent, yes. So, okay, yeah. Let's just, everything else aside. Oh, wait. Let's wrap this up real quick, this email thing. In case this woman is interested or is listening, are you interested in meeting her, yes or no?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm going to say I'll put this out front, that I am a person who deals better with, you know, direct communication.
Yeah.
So I think that it's not, you know, I'm not going to say no, but I think, like, it's probably going to be the kind of thing that you might want to just, if you actually want to meet me, you might just pretend like you didn't actually send those emails. You know, just go ahead and do it and pretend it's spontaneous. I'll probably forget.
Ah, you know? Gotcha. So let's just pretend this never happened and then come say hello to you in 2 weeks.
Right. Like, just, you know, a couple weeks from now, I will have forgotten about it. It will have vanished from my memory. And, you know, I think it's, you know, I understand that it can be hard. It's, you know, to approach someone, but
sure.
Go direct. You know, yeah. Go big or go home.
Okay.
I'm not sure that you're real, though. So if you're not real, then obviously, you know, continue not being real.
Then let's, yeah, forget it. Here's my my whole thing about this. Lily Paris, I feel like you're really asking a lot of someone to work pretty hard for a complete unknown. And what I mean by that is you sent me this email about, you know, oh my God, you're great. Why don't you write me an email? You didn't say what to write about. You gave me nothing to go on. And then you're very concerned that I keep your secret. This is a horrible plan. Because basically what you're saying to me is, you don't know me at all, and I know you 100%. How about you write me a novel, and then I'll decide whether or not I like you? What the fuck would I even write in that email? You know what I'm saying? When someone says, hey, I'm a mysterious stranger who likes you, write me an email. I would say, okay, hi, thanks for reading. It's a pleasure.
And I think there's something
I'm 5'9 to 5'10.
And I think there's something worth noting here that, like, when you've gotten something very fundamentally wrong, mm-hmm. like who this person is, it may be time to reevaluate.
How big a fan are you?
How big a fan am I?
No, I mean, how big a fan is that person if she's that far off?
Right.
Okay.
And it's not, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, if there's something, there's, you know, it's that thing where there's fundamentally, like, the first thought is that it's that you are a creation of someone else. It's like, well, yeah. You know, I think is at that point, you know, at that point, I think it's worthwhile to reevaluate, go back and take another look and be like, all right, this person, you know, it's sort of that getting in touch with me or you or whoever. It's like, I think you may want to look again, you know, take another look.
Yeah. Here's the lesson I think we should all take away from this experience. Just by simply reposting my posts and liking them, you could get hot babes.
That's totally true.
I don't know if this can be promised by the oatmeal or hyperbole and a half, but Helpful Snowman has a record of if you post things that I've posted and, you know, very nicely and I appreciate it, it could actually result in you getting human sex.
That's entirely true. I mean, and where could they get all of this great these great posts to post on their Facebook for human sex.
Go onto Facebook and search Ian Dirk.
That's apparently it. That's right.
Okay. So let's go back to... So you're in karate. What belt are you?
Yes.
Are you a belt?
I have a white belt, but not the rank of white belt.
Okay. We're going to have to go further back. Let's talk about what motivated you to be involved in karate.
A coworker of mine, by the way, looks absolutely nothing like Charlotte from Sex and the City.
Well, I don't think this person said she looks like Charlotte. She's a Charlotte type.
Oh, okay.
Is she like Charlotte? This could be your match. This could be her. Are you going to get beat up at karate?
No one in the class looks like, you know, I would describe as one I would describe as a Charlotte.
Okay.
And the person who started this karate class is a coworker of mine who one would never describe her as anything other than, God, I don't know, probably a Miranda or a Samantha. So,
I hear that, brother.
This is the most macho episode of Helpful Snowman
ever. Yeah, we're
ever.
Really getting into the Sex and the City. Finally what I've been wanting this whole time, a Sex and the City-oriented show, and we get it. So,
this
coworker of yours said, Ian, I think you should learn how to beat the shit out of people with your fists.
Well, I think she had wanted to start a karate club, right, with sort of people around the office. She does a lot of martial arts, really into martial arts, kind of wants to add something to the, you know, to the campus life, and the thing she wanted to add was martial arts.
Okay.
And, you know, she was looking for people to go, and I thought, you know, like, I moved to a new place.
Yeah.
One of the things I learned about moving to a new place, and something you even talk about on the show a little bit, is like, if you want to meet people, you kind of have to do things.
Yeah, you just have to say yes sometimes.
You have to say yes to stuff sometimes, and I was like, you know what, I'll say yes, because if this winds up being stupid,
okay,
then I can just be like, all right, I tried it.
Okay, already I'm 99% more on your side, because I was picturing you were wandering out and some toughs mocked to you, and then you saw a dojo with a tiger on the outside and wandered in, and here we are. So this was more of a social, like, all right, what the hell, why not? I'll do karate.
That's pretty close, though, because we wander over to a post office every day, and we use, like, a back room.
At the post office?
That's right.
That's fucking nuts. All right, continue.
And it started off as just me and one other person, essentially.
This coworker or another? Okay.
Yeah, like me and another coworker. You know, it started off, and there was another coworker who came, who is a very... The other coworker who came was, like, a very lovely person, but clearly...
Fat.
Not fat at all.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, very deeply... Like, it's a weird thing. Like, you've seen those people who are pretty thin, but also somehow deeply out of shape.
Ah, yes. Sort of the way that people, I think, see me and expect that I'll be athletic, yet I have no skills. You know, I throw a ball and it just disappears. It doesn't go forward or backwards. It goes into another dimension.
Well, to be fair, in some previous episodes, you've talked about throwing the long hog.
I can throw a long hog. I'm getting better.
Which, as far as I understand, is that just throwing the football forward, essentially?
Yeah. A long hog is like a good throw, or it's what I call the football, basically. I say you want to toss around the long hog.
So there's some kind of, like, it's sort of pitching as it's whirling through the air. It's not spiraling, but it's kind of end over end.
Oh, it's spiral. Well, sort of. That's what I'm working on. Listen, you should know of anyone, I didn't have, like, a father who was going to teach me how to long hog. You know, I had to learn from a young girl who works at my work.
You had to learn from, like, so you're learning how to throw a football from a teenage girl at your work.
Well, she's probably like 20 or 21. But yeah, I mean, that's basically a teenager, right?
Right.
She's
like
about 5'1".
Like...
and she's teaching, she's throwing the long hog with me.
Oh, boy. Unfortunately, she's not of drinking age, which is really, it seems like it'd be critical to throw the long hog with Pete.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt. I should probably tell her, like, listen, men are very devious, and I should let you know that, you know, this whole throwing the long hog thing is really a ruse. I'm really looking for a father figure.
That's just the whole point. If you're willing to be my father figure,
yeah, you're cool with that. Then we're
10
good.
Years younger than I am.
Just so you know, I have an ulterior motive as a man. A man has needs. Well, one of those needs is a father.
Does she ever call you champ when you make a good catch?
She does encourage me from time to time. She'll say, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, but that's a pretty good one, champ.
I don't know if she's... you know what? I might try and weasel that in. If you can call me, like, son.
No, you don't want to go. You don't want to go too hard, too fast.
No,
like, you know, I mean, it's the same thing with a, you know, I always say it's like the same thing with a crush, but you want to be direct, but not too direct. You know, maybe not too direct. So you go with champ.
Hey, man, I've been waiting for a father a long time. I'm running out of patience.
You're on sort of a daddy dry spell.
Yeah, I'm ready for someone to pick up the slack.
Yeah, how long has it been since you've been with a father figure?
A father figure.
Yeah.
Who would be my last father figure? Probably
Michael.
Probably my high school
father figure. Na, 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 na.
I mean, my high school track coach was kind of a father figure. So I don't know, 10 years.
Okay, that's a decade.
Yeah.
Right.
10 years dadless.
That's all. That's a lot of dadless years.
I know.
So
you've been doing karate now for like 4 months.
Right.
Could you beat me up? Is that what you're, I mean, what do you do in karate? Punch people?
Actually, like, we do sparring. But mostly we do this kata thing. Like, you know, like when you see Kill Bill and they're sort of, you know, doing kicks and stuff in front of a sunset.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that, mostly.
Standing on a couple wooden poles, kicking at the sun.
Yeah, there's no wooden poles in the back of the post office. We're not that advanced yet.
Getting fucking naked, standing on an old dumpster, doing a backflip, completely nude.
Yes, completely nude.
So do you have a karate robe outfit?
I do.
Okay. Now, where do you even buy that?
I don't really know, because the person in charge of the club just said, give me $35.
Yeah.
And I'll come back with a gi, you know, a karate robe.
A gi, yeah.
And then, she kind of gave her $35, and then she came back with a gi.
That is so gi.
The sizing of which makes absolutely no sense to me.
What's the sizing because, on those? Chinese, Japanese, look at these?
That's right. No. If you're Japanese, it's sort of short and covers your body hair. If you're Korean, it's nice and clingy because, you know...
Smooth.
You're smooth.
Yeah.
That's right. If you're Chinese, they're all the same size because we're all the same,
yeah,
comrade.
Figuring out yourself.
Yeah.
So what is the sizing? I don't even know.
I don't even... that's what makes no sense to me, because someone who's, like, shorter than I am and thinner than I am doesn't have the same size as I am. Someone who's like a tall, lanky person, you know, who's like 6'4", basically, mm-hmm, is one size higher than I am. Like, what?
Yeah, it doesn't even work. Sense. Well, and I mean, it's not exactly. Is yours really tight? Are the pants really tight?
No.
Are you wearing them like Axl Rose wore jeans?
The problem with it is actually that I think mine tends to be billowy.
Ah.
So, like, the little chest hair wisp. It actually do come out from time to time. I'm like, this is a problem.
This is grotesque.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to karate wearing an extremely tight uniform. You know, like the pants just look painted on. And they're capried because they're so short.
Like a child's uniform?
Yeah, like basically a little kid's ninja costume from Halloween. Shiny and white.
Would you want to have like
with
a
fake muscles built in?
Would you want to have like a similar song on underneath, or just totally naked? So when you burst out of it,
Sumo thong over the top.
Over the top.
Yeah. do you wear a hat like Raiden?
No, I don't get to wear a hat like Raiden, but I should ask for one.
Could you wear a baseball hat?
I don't own any baseball hats. No.
You don't own any baseball hats?
I do not own a baseball hat.
Wow, why? Do they not fit you right?
I have a problem, and I think you've seen this before in person, is that my head is like kind of a long shape.
Yeah, me too.
And so when I wear a hat, it gives me penis head.
Penis head. Oh, okay. You look like
a
penis head,
man. Yeah, I look like a penis. It becomes like a penis head.
Just a penis attached to a body.
Right. There's just kind of a long, and it's clearly, and it clearly looks like a penis. So baseball hat's not usually my thing.
It's like I told that woman, we share qualities. I know what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, but that's, basically I look like if I put the, if I put it like a rabbit-shaped head, it'd be like the cover you'd have to put on your penis so we could have this wobbly H action.
Yeah. Yeah. So, have you learned a lot? I mean, is this karate? Would this be something you would continue?
I can sort of, like, it's one of those things I like doing it. I'll probably continue to do it as long as it's convenient in my schedule.
Yeah.
But, like, the minute it becomes, it's, like, one of those things where I think, like, oh, the second this becomes inconvenient, I'm not doing this anymore.
That was what turned me all around on it, because I thought you had just gone out of your way, but it was more like a, I mean, if karate got dropped in my lap, I'd probably do it. If someone at my work was like, hey, we're going to start a karate class. It begins Thursday at 9 p.m., which is when you get off of work. You should join. I'd probably join. What the fuck? Why not?
Oh, it's not even like when I get off of work. It's like from, it's like from 3:30 to 4:30.
Yeah.
Isn't that time of work where, like, you're not doing anything? You're just like, ugh, I don't want to,
I wish... I'm glad that it's not awful, but for the sake of this show, I wish your story had been more awful as far as...
I do want to keep continuing it because I think it might help me with my self-defense riding the light rail every day.
Yeah, I've heard that you've had some interesting train encounters.
Oh, God. Yeah, the thing that's following me on Twitter, by the way, is you start to hear about my various train encounters.
Yeah, I recommend following Ian on Twitter because a lot of good, horrible train people. I did feel like Jay Leno just then. I heard you did a lot of train encounters. Where he's just. but yeah, seriously. So you've had some. I have to say. Recently, I was, considering the qualities of bums in different cities on this show, and I neglected the Phoenix bums, but the Phoenix bums were some of the worst as far as just hollowed out shells of men and women.
Like, this is somehow nothing left. The earth is salted and scorched.
Yeah.
And gone.
They are fucking walking dead. This is how someone came up with zombies, is seeing a goddamn... I saw a guy when I was there, I kid you not, the bottom third of his feet were just crusted. They looked like magma earth, that was just cracked and crusted from stepping on the hot floor. And the stink that he had was so widespread and thick and rich. I mean, it was nothing like I'd ever experienced before.
And it is kind of amazing. Like, someone who's, especially a Phoenix bum, a Phoenix homeless person in the summer.
Yeah.
It's a whole new level of hopeless.
Oh, it's horrible. Because you're just like, well, they're just basically baking alive. As if they weren't crazy enough, they're also a little dehydrated.
I encountered, like, one of the first summers here, like, one of my first weeks at my job, pretty soon after you left, I encountered a Phoenix homeless person, passed out in I went up to one of those drive-up ATMs.
Yeah.
Like, I walked up to it because it's never very busy.
Right.
And he's just laying in the drive-up ATM, just laying down.
Because I guess that had been shaded during the day, so it wasn't as hot, is that...
Well, he didn't look like laying down. Like, you know how, so there's a difference between, you know, when you lay down to sleep, this is what it looks like. Well, you just
kind of
flops here.
Yeah, okay. So he just basically collapsed in the ATM area.
Also, it was clear that he had collapsed. He was clearly in distress because how many times would you say you've gone to bed and your pants are slightly pulled down, like just over, you know, you've got full butt showing.
Oh,
but not,
I mean,
like,
yeah.
Your pants are all the way down, but like your full butt is showing.
3,000 or 4,000, but not many.
Yeah, a handful of times, right?
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
A couple times a year.
Yeah.
But this guy was like full. So he was clearly, and you wonder, like, oh, is he okay? Did he have a heart attack? And then I look around, and there's like a nice little bit of steel reserve hanging around.
Ah, nice
and,
hot, nice hot beer.
Yeah, there's a hot beer there, and he's like, and I kind of like nudge him with my foot to sort of, because I went to my first aid training and thought, okay, shake and shout.
You nudged
really
him with your foot?
Him.
That's brave, yeah.
So I nudged him, I'm like, hey, are you okay? And some girls came driving up in their SUV.
Yeah.
And they asked me, like, is he okay? And I'm like poking this person with my foot. He's like, come on, wake up. I was like, I don't think,
like,
so.
I don't know, man. I don't know this guy.
And yeah, I was like, I have no idea. And I was like, yeah, I don't really know, but could you maybe called someone, because it seems to be pretty bad, because, like, when you're poking someone with your foot, and I was poking him at first, and I was sort of kind of, like, you know, shaking him.
Yeah, you start to sort of vibrate the person, and then it goes into a full-on shake, and yeah.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, like, if you were responsive, you'd, like, swat or move around. Like, if
right.
someone is kind of violently pushing on you with your foot and you're starting to like rotate around, you'd wake up.
Yeah, at least a
And the best part was the police showed up first.
Uh-huh.
And they got the rubber gloves on and they were like, I don't want to touch him. They're like, we're done. Like they showed up and they're like, done. They went until the fire department showed up.
Yeah.
The fire department like pulled up his pants, rolled him over. checked him out, and then he just woke up and walked off.
Oh, well, good evening. And then just puts on a top hat and a cane and dances away.
And the thing that made me proud to be a citizen of the great city of Phoenix is there's two cops and like four firefighters standing around. They just let him go.
Yeah, they're just like, well, as long as he's upright, we're good.
He knows what he's doing.
That's a lot of forethought. Like, we probably won't have to come to this guy in about another 20 minutes passed out somewhere else.
Well, later on that evening, I was going back and I had to stop at my work and get some stuff. So I had to get off the light rail and get back on. So I'm at the same station, which is about like the station that's maybe about a block away or so from this ATM where mm-hmm. this man had been passed out.
Right.
And you know what he's doing? Walking around drinking.
So they roused him enough that he could then continue his bender.
Yes.
Perfect.
And I was like, I was sitting there staring at him. I was like, I've had some bad hangovers, but usually, like, if I was that bad, I'm like,
yeah.
I'm gonna not continue.
Right.
Drinking.
I'm good.
But
I'm set,
man,
for today.
Yeah, I'm set. I'm done. All things, it's all good.
Yeah, that'll do. That'll do, pig.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's enough. Like, when the fire department has to come pull your pants up, that's when you call it a day.
Anyone has to pull your pants up or pulls them down without you knowing. That's a good sign that you've had enough.
Yeah, even if someone, you know, who's a Charlotte in the Sex and the City, forces your pants down,
yeah,
you can still call it a day because that's a win.
If the Mighty Oak pulls your pants down.
That's right. If my pants are fallen by the Mighty Oak,
right,
so be it.
Then you'll know there's real trouble.
That's right. But there's one person before we move on to something else that's worth talking about.
Please.
Ooh, and actually, it's a good thing because, you know, since we haven't had enough racist stuff on the show.
Oh, I would like to get into some racist stuff.
Okay. There's a guy who was apparently being robbed of his skateboard.
Okay.
At one point. And, or he had a dispute with an African-American gentleman.
Uh-huh.
About a skateboard. And it took place in sort of the door of the light rail. And the African-American gentleman wrenched the skateboard away from this other guy's hand.
Okay.
The other guy's a white guy.
Can I just, real quick, so we're talking about a skateboard kid versus a homeless black.
I think what we're talking, when I say skateboard kid, you probably would want to say kid like 22.
Right. Okay, so a little old for the whole skateboarding profession, but I just want to make sure we're talking about, it's black, it's white, you kill me!
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately after the train leaves, the white gentleman refers to the person who has the skateboard using the N-word.
Okay. Nigger.
And it's a train, yes.
He says, you're a dirty nigger.
He just says nigger once.
That's it?
And at first.
So wait a minute. So he says, like, he calls him that, or he says, like, this nigger stole my skateboard?
No, he called him that. Like, he sits down, he's like, fucking nigger.
So he sits down kind of resigned to his skateboard loss and then calls the guy a nigger as his sort of payback.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And, he looks around, and the train is full of African-Americans.
Oh, good.
And the ones behind me were like, dude, you can't call someone that. and this was his defense, which is the most sterling defense of all time that I've ever heard.
Uh-huh.
This is the Clarence Darrow of the light rail. He says, in this train full of people, like, I don't think of nigger as a black thing. There's white niggers and Mexican niggers. Niggers of all colors.
Wow. Let me guess what the reaction was in the train. Shit.
People were just, that was pretty close. They're like, oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Good one. You really, your silver tongue has saved you again.
It's the kind of thing that is stunning, and it's a stunning level of bullshit.
Yeah,
that is absolutely. That's why I think why it worked is that it was simply stunning.
It was just so shocking that what do you say?
Yeah,
like,
how do
okay,
you
don't even believe that either, right? Like, this is just
right.
Just being crazy.
Like, it's the kind of defense I would not have even that wouldn't have even occurred.
No, I don't think it would. I don't think it would cross my mind to be like, no. When I said that, what I meant was, you know, Chinese niggers. I don't know if that's gonna cut it.
During my time at the UN, I met Pakistani niggers.
Yeah,
and
there's
Chinese.
All kinds. Yeah, chink niggers.
Right.
This does not.
By the way, Unhelpful Snowman, we don't endorse the use of the N-word.
Absolutely not. This is just to explain the story.
Right. It makes more sense this way.
Yeah.
But it's...
We prefer the term non-whites.
Exactly. It's easier to categorize, because then you have two categories.
Yeah, good and bad.
Yeah. There you go. Done.
Done. There are two more things we needed to cover here. We needed to go... You had a challenge for me, and also I asked if anyone had any questions for us as brothers for this show, and I did get 3 questions. So which would you like to do first?
Well, I think it's worthwhile to do the challenge first.
Okay.
Because I think I have a bit of a beef to pick with someone.
Oh, okay. It's on.
Right.
Let's do this.
All right. And it's with someone who was on your show not too long ago, and I don't want to refer to this person by the name she gave her, you know, that she claimed to be. So I will call her the so-called number one fan.
Okay.
so-called number one fan is not the number one fan.
Okay.
Considering I post enough stuff on my Facebook where people think I created the show, that's number one fan.
Someone did almost... someone almost had accidental sex with me thinking I was you.
That's right.
That's pretty good.
That's a level of fandom that I think so-called number one fan has not hit.
Okay.
So this is what I'm challenging.
Okay.
If she wants to call herself number one fan, she needs to prove it.
Uh-huh.
And what I think you need to do to see who's your number one fan...
Uh-huh.
You need to follow in the footsteps of your true idol with your podcast, which, aside from Red Bar Radio, it would be, which one?
You need
to follow in the great footsteps of Tell 'Em Steve Dave.
Okay.
And we need to have the helpful snowball.
A fan off.
That's right.
That's a great idea.
I challenge the so-called number one fan to a fan off. It could include wine taste testing of your least favorite wines.
Uh-huh.
It could include the Roseanne game.
Okay.
It could include other various sundry activities to prove number one fan status.
I think this is a fantastic idea. Here's what I think we should do. I think we should plan this for late December, because you'll probably be home.
I will.
And number one fan will probably be around. And perhaps a couple other fans will also be up for joining to see. This is like my version of The Bachelor. You know what I mean?
That's true.
We go on these various tests to see who the number one fan is.
That's right.
And then they retain the crown for, you know, a year until the next year, and then we redo the number one fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a pretty sweet idea.
This person just decided to call herself number one fan without really having to prove it.
Well, to be fair, now there have been some pretty good fan activities here. She printed up some business cards for me that were, you know, they look like a cassette tape and they say, "This is a really great show. You should check it out." And it has a blank that you can fill in of like which episode you recommend and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty awesome. This is the only person I know of who's actually purchased my poetry chapbook.
Wrong. I have purchased this poetry chapbook.
Okay, well, that's super fandom because, Jesus Christ, I apologize in retrospect. What else?
I also posted it. Well, I posted a picture of your web address at my work.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I'm just
saying, I don't want to determine who the number one fan is. I feel like that's up to fans. One thing that I really love about this show is it encourages fans to tear each other apart. It's really a very uncohesive fan base. You know what I mean? The fans really engage in hating each other.
That's right.
So I'd like to maintain that status. But I think the idea of a fan Olympics is a absolutely delightful and wonderful idea. And you know what? I'd like to throw some wild cards in there. You know, I'd like to see, for example, a Val in there who's listened to like one episode of this show.
Which is strange because she's been on more than one episode of the show.
I know. But I think it would be good to throw some wild cards in there. So here's what I would like then. From fans, I would like two things. One, a suggestion for an event. And two, to throw your hat in the ring. Do you want to be considered the number one fan? Do you feel like maybe you could pull it off? If so, I'd love to see you here. Late December. We're going to work this out. It's a whole new year for a snowman.
That's right. I feel like I have a good shot at the crown, except for the Roseanne game.
Yeah.
That might be a little rough.
Well, you've not had a good history with that.
I have not had a good history with that. But I feel like if there is a radio announcer ad voice, I am sold.
There you go.
That is my game, son.
So here's what's required. You have to be around town-ish on late November, although we could probably do a couple phone-ins. That's number one. Number two, you have to come up with an event. And then you can officially enter to be the number one fan. Does that seem reasonable?
That seems reasonable. And can I count the idea of this as my event?
I think you need to do an event.
No,
I don't want to come
fine.
Up with all the events. Come on. It could be anything.
I'll call Roseanne. Well, you know what? I won't take Roseanne game.
Okay.
I will go with the Egg and I announcement.
Egg and I menu
commercial.
Announcement commercial?
That's right.
That's a great idea. Okay.
That's my event.
Okay.
But, I mean, someone else basically gets a free one by saying Roseanne game.
So the gauntlet has been tossed. I look forward to the 1.5 emails disputing it.
That's right. Well, you know, if I wind up showing up and there's no, then the so-called number one fan isn't there, I believe so-called number one fan will have to refer to herself as former number one fan, liar of all liars.
Number two fan, and number two means poo, as we all know.
At number two at that, I like liar of all liars.
Number two with a bullet.
That's right.
Number all right.
two with an anchor, sinking down.
Let's finish this up with our three questions, shall we?
Okay, we got three questions.
All right, question one. How many hours have you ever spent in a sandbox?
How many hours have I ever spent in a sandbox?
I'm not sure whether that means total in your life or at the longest stretch.
I mean, does a desert count as a sandbox?
To me, yes. Both horrible, both too warm. Both have a lot of cat urine in them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, in that case, I think we're heading towards 6 years.
Okay. Could you give a brief summary on the plot of your Batman and Robin movie?
I think that one was directed towards you.
Oh yeah, I don't think you were in that movie. Were you?
I was not in. I was the camera person.
You did the filming.
I was the director.
Brief summary. Let's see. I don't know if I could give a summary of the plot so much as what happened. My friend had a Batman costume, so we decided to make a Batman movie, which became somewhat infamous for its horribleness. You know, this was like, if this was made today, I feel like it would be a YouTube sensation because it was so terrible. I dressed as the Joker, which consisted of putting white makeup on and ruining one of my dad's blazers. We filmed this entirely in the backyard, and basically what it was Batman would say, I gotta go get the Joker. Then he walked over to our shed, which was the Batcave, walks over to it, can't get the door open, turns around and says, I think it's locked. Then it cuts to me as the Joker in the same backyard saying something like, I'm gonna go get Batman. And then, you know, I walk off. Then we meet and fight. He stabs me with, and this is not made up, an artificial hip that my dad brought home from work, which was semi-knife-like, and I did the old tuck it in the armpit trick. I fall over and lay on the ground like I'm dead. And I think you narrated it and said something like, finally, the Batman defeats the Joker. In the middle of this, I'm laying down, and comically, the fedora I'm wearing flops off of my head as I'm laying on the ground in the middle of this speech. And that's basically the movie.
There's some details left out because that was like the whole version.
Yeah.
However, we did not have editing technology back then, so there's a lot of bloopers.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's a blooper reel with that just happened to capture a movie.
Right. I mean, there was time where I think someone insisted on narrating, and you were standing in front of the camera the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And someone called you Batman. We were very obviously, we had two characters in the film.
Yeah.
And somehow got to, fuck that up.
Yeah.
I also, as director, I felt like we needed some coverage shots.
Sure.
You know, some the things for interstitial
scenery and whatnot.
The mood. And considering we had nothing really to set the mood, we wound up getting a shot of our cat walking away.
Nothing like a shot of a cat walking around to really set the mood. In the middle of the day, this is all midday, by the way, shot.
it's midday.
In what's clearly a backyard.
It's one of, you know, what I think it really is. I think Christopher Nolan probably saw this, and that's why he decided to set The Dark Knight Rises during the daytime.
I mean, you know what? I consider his movie an homage. I wouldn't say it outright stole, but I would say there were elements that were an homage to what we, the work we did.
All right, I would agree. I think that, you know, he's nice enough, but I think it would be nice if he gave us more credit.
A little special thanks, too, would have been nice.
Yeah, like some acknowledgement, you know, here and there. It's important to acknowledge your influences, really.
Yeah.
I like how, and of course, the best, you know, the good parts of the plot were that Batman is foiled by a locked door.
Yeah, he couldn't get into a shed, / his Batcave, / a shed that had a bunch of wasps in it, so he couldn't actually go in it. Because there were too many wasps.
The Batman has somehow...
Foiled again.
Batman has somehow been overcome by wasps.
Yeah, that's out of his control. All right. Final question. Who would Samuel L. Jackson rather meet, you or Ian?
Well, considering one for 10 person already wants to meet me.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you, Samuel L. Jackson, I don't think is a real person either.
Yeah.
So, I'll throw down and say he's fake. And if he wants to prove he's real, he should come to this helpful snow bowl.
Yeah. Prove you're a big fan, Sam Jackson. We'll fucking see you there, you piece of shit. You bald bastard. You bald black man.
People think you're Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think you're Nick Fury, Agent of nothing.
Yeah. More exactly. Like Nick Fury, Agent of my ass.
Now, is that Agent of My Ass, like, with a bunch of periods in there that stands, like, it's an acronym, or...
Yeah, it stands for Ass Sex Society.
That's right.
it's pretty weird to have an acronym where the acronym is in the acronym.
It's kind of like one of those divide by zero questions.
Yeah.
It's inside, it's infinite.
What's the first, A in ass stand for? Oh, ass.
Ass.
It's perfect. It's, took a real genius to come up with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're going to call this an evening here. What do you think?
I think so.
Well, thank you. Whoa. Thanks for calling in. It was good to have you again. Good to hear your tones, your voice. Do you have any last words here?
Well, I think considering we've denigrated a lot of people who might be fans of the show, it might be good to cut it off. I mean, if you want to have sex with me, or if you want to, rather just if you have a crush on me, be sure to read Peter's Unset Love Letters.
Yeah, you can just, if you would like to have sex with Ian, or give him a blowjob, or put a finger in his butt, or try and fill his pee hole with a small cocktail straw, just email me, helpfulsnowman@gmail.com, and I'll pass that right on.
Yeah, that'd be helpful, Great. And why don't you tell him about some other stuff I've written?
Ian's also written petesunsetloveletters.tumblr.com. That's a project he's working on. He's also been a proprietor of HelpfulSnowman.com. Any article that shows it's been written by Pete is by him. He also does a podcast regularly. Basically, look him up under his brother's name and you'll find him.
Yeah, it's right now this whole thing is basically me talking to myself.
All right. See you later, everybody.
See you later.
Christmas.